you doing? All right.
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Busy with work, but yeah, two young lads to keep me occupied. So yeah, all good. All good.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm living near Sheffield, just outside of Sheffield. I'm growing up there, basically, apart from moving up to Hull for a bit when I played up there. I've been here all my life, so yeah, still down here.
Ah, good stuff. And you say you're working for yourself these days?
Yeah, I've got my own plastering business, so I've given myself a day off today. So I need it sometimes, getting on a bit.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, nice to have a little Friday off.
Yeah, definitely. Long weekend.
How did you end up at City? From non-league, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, basically, I was at Sheffield Wednesday as a kid, from like 11 till 16, I think. And then you either, back in them days, you either got an apprenticeship or they released you. I was one of, you know, the lads who got released. I went to play non-league football when I was sort of 18, 19, something like that, for Sheffield Club. I don't know if you've heard of them. It's the oldest football club in the world. And basically, I was doing all right. I was enjoying my football and stuff. I had a little spell at Stockport, played two or three reserve games. Nothing came of that. And then we played a game up at Ferriby, North Ferriby. And I had a decent game and whatnot. And I believe the chairman or the manager at Ferriby rang either Terry Dolan or Martin Fish, who was obviously the chairman at the time. And I got invited up to play a reserve game at Bilfrey Park, October 93, I think it was, something like that.
Was it a step up in terms of...
It was, yeah. I mean, yeah. I was buzzing, you know. I mean, I was working in a factory. I was a welder. Again, it was hard work. I was proper working class sort of lad, playing my football as well. So, you know, very busy with it all. But to have a chance, you know, a little sniff to go and be involved at, you know, at a pro club was incredible. And I remember going up on the Wednesday. I think we played Grimsby at Bilfrey Park on a Wednesday night. Went to the changing room, didn't have a clue where I was going, you know, stuff like that. No, didn't know anyone. I think I'd spoke to Jeff Lee. I think he'd phoned me the week before or something to arrange it. So obviously met him and we played Grim. I remember Manny played. He were in a very similar situation to myself. We played Grimsby. I think we got beat. I can't remember what the score was, but I think we got beat. I had a decent game and I remember they invited myself and my dad into Terry's office after. We had my dad had a can of John Smith or whatever and a bit of a chat and they seemed quite impressed. I played a reserve game the week after at Tranmere. I must have done all right again. And the next thing I know, I'm on the bench for the first team on the Saturday. So it all went pretty quick. But yeah, it was incredible. Really, really, you know, proper buzzing with it all.
And am I right in thinking you scored on your debut? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I said we played the reserve game at Tranmere on the Wednesday. I think Jeff Lee came down to pick me up actually from Sheffield and I had no car, no transport or anything. Drove me up to Prenton Park, isn't it, where they play. And then I must have got a phone call on the Thursday or Friday inviting me for the pre-match meal, which we used to go to, is it Grange Park or something like that, hotel?
Right, yeah, I think so, yeah.
We used to go there for a pre-match meal and they told me to report 12 o'clock on the Saturday, like, with your suit on. I don't even know if I had a suit, so I might have had to go and buy one and get my tie on and stuff like that and went up. I think Manny were there again, so obviously I knew him from playing, you know, in reserves and that. So, and then they named the team. I think we all went down to the ground. I think we'd had one or two injuries. Dino was suspended, I think. I think he got sent off the week or a couple of weeks before against Bradford or something like that. So they were sort of low on numbers. And yeah, they put me on the bench. And I was absolutely, yeah, brilliant stuff. Couldn't wait to get out there. And I think we were losing. Well, we were losing. We were losing 1-0. It was a decent crowd there because I think they were we were sort of top three, I think. You know, we'd had quite a good start that season. There was like 6,000 or 7,000 there. So, you know, it was quite a good crowd. And we were losing 1-0. And I remember warming up with, I think it was Chris Hargreaves. Like, I've been obviously jogging up and down and that. And he, the second half, he says, well, I said, do you think we'll get on? Like, you know, he says, yeah, we'll all get on. I can't remember it. The subway might have been a goalie. I can't remember. But he says, yeah, we'll definitely get on. And obviously, your adrenaline's pumping and, you know, can't wait to get on. I eventually get the call over about half an hour from the end or something. We're still losing 1-0. And I goes on, and 5 minutes later, I managed to score. So, yeah, the dream debut, as you say.
Excellent, yeah. Yeah, we had Gary Hobson on. Well, I spoke to Gary on Monday.
And, yeah, I watched it, yeah.
I didn't really ask him about, like, the dynamic of Terry Dolan and Jeff Lee. It seemed a bit of a good cop, bad cop, but Gary kind of said Terry could lose his head as well at points. What were they like to work with?
He could. I mean, I always thought Terry was all right with myself. Jeff, again, he was very sort of hot-headed. If you weren't playing well, you certainly knew about it. And I obviously got quite a few roastings off him, as a few of the other lads did. So, yeah, he was probably a bit of, you know, good cop, bad cop sort of thing, but they worked well together. But they would say Terry was sound with me. I had no problems at all with him, but Jeff, you know, once or twice I thought he might have stepped over the line a bit, but it's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. A bit old school back then, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
just reading here as well that you had to play a game at right back early on against Blackpool. What was that like?
I don't think I played right back, but I was down on the sheet. I think I wore number 2. Whereas, right, you know, playing wide right or whatever, you sort of number 7 something. And so I think they gave me the number 2 shirt. But yeah, that was my first start. Basically, after the Fulham game, I got flu. There were a massive sort of flu bug going around at the time at the club. And I got it after the Fulham game, I think. And it proper knocked me for 6. I lost quite a bit of weight and, you know, a bit of strength and stuff. And I think Blackpool might have been about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, something like that. And they gave me my first start. And I was down at number 2. I got the number 2 shirt, but I might have played on the left actually that night. But we got battered 6-2. So that was an eye-opener.
Yeah, like you say, we did quite well in those first 2 seasons you were at City. Quite memorable seasons and some memorable games in the 94-95 season. And I think I saw today that the 7-1 against Crewe, was that on your birthday?
It might have been actually, yeah. Yeah. We won 7-1. I think it was October time. But we were like 3rd, 4th in the league, something like that. It was around the time as well. And listening to Obbo the other day, he mentioned the Oxford game when Fetz came on and scored. It was a similar time, but up to sort of Christmas time, New Year, we were sort of holding our own. We were like top 3, top 4 most of the season. So yeah, it was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it. So, yeah, brilliant.
Obviously you grabbed the goal that day as well, which must have been
good. I think it was, I don't think it was much of a special goal. It was just a bit of a scramble. I seem to remember Manny playing well that day. I know Brownie got a hat-trick, I think. Didn't he, Linton?
Yeah. One of Brownie's goals is hilarious. The keeper plays it off him and it's literally, he smacks it off his hand and scores.
Yeah, he's gone to close him down, hasn't he? And he's tried to dink it over him. He's virtually caught the ball or whatever. He stopped it with his hands and just put it in. But yeah, they were great days. Really good.
Yeah. Am I right in thinking you had quite a good relationship with Manny?
We sort of go back to when we started and that. I think we were both sort of working and playing sort of part-time. That first season when I scored against Fulham, I'd be at work Monday to Friday, whatever, and Mike get on the bench for the first team on a Saturday. And the same with Manny. We'd play every reserve game on a Wednesday if he did well or if there were 1 or 2 injuries. We might get a call to be on the first team. I started 1 or 2 near the end of the season, but I think we both signed exactly the same contract, same money, same obviously duration, and And we, yeah, he's a very similar age to myself. So yeah, we sort of went into it together.
It's got some good goals between you, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I say I've got two young lads and you know, they love the football and that, and you see YouTube and things like that. And there is, you know, your type Hull City, you know, whatever season, and you've got one or two goals on there. So yeah, it's they're good to look back on. They really are.
Training at that time, was training at the back of Guthrie Park behind the gym?
Yes. I always remember a Monday morning we used to go around to Johnny Whiteley, you know, the rugby league right. guy.
Yeah.
He owned his own gym, so we used to have to obviously get in Monday morning if we'd won, lost, drawn, whatever. Mondays were hard, honestly. And we used to have to run round to his gym, half a mile run or whatever. Do a big weight session in there, run back to the ground, and we'd be straight on the back pitch for a proper tear up. You know, there were no holding back or anything. There were tackles flying in everywhere, and yeah, we got a good sweat on. Honestly, you know, Mondays were really tough. Finished off with some running, and yeah, that's how it was.
Maybe not the next season, but the season after the Whitby game. I mean, what was that like to be in? I remember the first game being, it's just a mud bath, wasn't it? The away game.
Yeah, it was at Scarborough's ground, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was absolutely hammering it down all game. The pitch was heavy anyway, but it never stopped raining. And we took quite a good following, you know, it was full behind the net. They're obviously desperate for a good cup run and whatnot, but it was, I don't know, it was a nil-nil, wasn't it? A really scrappy game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the replay was on the Tuesday or Wednesday. Back then, you'd play at the weekend and then the replay would be straight after that midweek, wouldn't it? So we played him at Boothry Park and we were losing. It was a crazy game, honestly. We were losing 4-3 with what, a minute left or something. Then Dwayne got his last minute equaliser and we kicked on from there.
I remember we lost in the next round to Crewe, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, they had some good players then, though. They had, I think...
Was Danny Murphy playing?
Danny Murphy, Savage, players like that. Neil Lennon might have been there. So they had a good side, but they came to Boothry Park and spanked us 5-1, I think it was.
Yeah, I do remember that. And he scored a screamer on that time in that IBC shirt against Carlisle. I was watching it this morning. Was that one of your better goals?
It was, yeah. Probably my best one. We were struggling. We were rooted to the bottom of the league. I don't know how many we'd won that season, but that was, yeah, around December, January time, I think it was. And we went 2-0. I think Dino had just moved on to Aberdeen, I think he went to. And we went 2-0 up. I scored the long range one to start with and got another one about 2 minutes later. We'd not won for a long time. So I think, oh, we're buzzing, we're 2-0 up here. And then we ended up losing 5-2, which was, didn't really see that coming, but yeah, one of the better goals.
And then, yeah, just coming to the end of Terry Dolan's time, I would remember of kind of, we talked to Gary about, you know, that season it started to turn when we got relegated. Mm. He left in the March, I think, but
yeah.
I mean, what was it like for the team with all the protests going on and everything? How did it affect the team?
It wasn't nice. It wasn't a nice place to be around. We sort of tried to block it out as much as possible, but we were obviously aware of it. I mean, as I say, Terry were always, he were always sound with me. Martin Fish, the chairman, he, proper gentleman sort of thing. He got, you know, dogs abused, didn't he, really? Fish sent through his letterbox and stuff like that, and which I don't know, some of it probably weren't called for, but it was a toxic time, should we say. But we just tried to, you know, black it out as much as possible.
And like I was reading the decade book, you know, when David Lloyd comes in with Mark Hatley, and so a few of the quotes from players like Steve Wilson saying, you know, at the start of his reign, everything seemed quite professional and that is quite exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you remember from when he first came in?
I remember I think we were on holiday in Turkey, I think. I'd gone with an ex-girlfriend. Manny were there with his, go back to Manny again. But he was there with his girlfriend, his wife now. Adam Lowthorpe were there as well. So we were sort of a few couples away on holiday. And we read it in the paper one day that Mark Hatley were taking over. Which we obviously knew that Terry and Jeff were going. Obviously a takeover coming through and stuff. So we gets back and reports into training. and Jeff and Terry are there turning up. I think they were at the university training up there, and they were there again. What's going on here? And they took training for about another week after we'd come back. I think they knew that they were going, but we turned up. They were brilliant about it. To be honest, they were, you know, they took training as normal. And it weren't until probably the week or so after the deal went through or whatever, and Mark Haley and Billy Kirkwood turned up. And it, to be fair, to start with, we had a good pre-season. We played some of the Scottish teams, Aberdeen, Hearts, I think we played as well, and we did quite well against them. And then once the season kicked off, we struggled. We really struggled. So, yeah, it was a good start, but we didn't really keep it going.
There seems to be a bit of a turning point that Steve Wilson and a few of the talk where he kind of realised that Hurtley wasn't the man for the job. Do you remember like a turning point kind of thing?
I think Billy Kirk, again, they were all right with me. Mark Haley and Billy Kirk, they were fine with me. I had no problem with them at all. They always seemed to treat me all right and played me more often than not. So I was fine with them both. I think Billy left before Mark Haley did, if I'm right. I can't remember, to be honest, but I think Billy left first, and it was just the writing around the world. You know, we were struggling. I think there was us, Brighton, and Doncaster, I think, who were totally caught adrift, you know, at the bottom of League, what is it, League Two now. And so we were like, it was us three, like, scrapping to stay up, if you like. And I think it was only because Doncaster were, you know, struggling even more than the rest, you know, us and Brighton, that we got away with it that season. But yeah, you could see that somebody would come in and needed to be changes quick.
But yeah, I read that he started you for pretty much every game, and so you had a hernia operation or something?
I did. I struggled. Again, I'd not had many injuries at all, really, from playing football as a kid. And then they all seemed to sort of come at once. There were a few of us had hernias, actually. Can't remember
who
had
it. Manny had one at one point.
Manny had one. Sam Sharman, I don't know if you remember him. We ended up going down to a place in Shrewsbury. And we drove down together to see this specialist. And basically, he operated on us both that the day after. So we had it done at the same time. We sort of had his own room and stuff. But yeah, we had it done at the same time. And that kept me out for a bit. And then it didn't seem to settle down properly, and I struggled with it for a while, to be honest. But yeah, it's just one of them things, isn't it? A niggly one.
And there was some, you know, some signings that season that were quite memorable, like David Rocastle coming in. What was it like playing with him?
Brilliant. I mean, obviously, you know, he was a legend, weren't he? Arsenal league winner with Arsenal, played for England, but he was such a gent. He weren't a big, you know, you think he's coming from Arsenal or whatever, he's coming to play with us a lot down at, you know, bottom of League Two. And he was brilliant, honestly. He was a really nice fella. Such, you know, obviously, massive shame at what happened with him and that. But yeah, brilliant lad and what a player, yeah. And we had, I think we had Glyn Hodges, another experienced pro, Kevin Gage. I think that was a thing with the manager at St. Mark, he didn't really know many players in the lower leagues. He obviously played at a much higher level than what we had. So we tried to bring these experienced pros in to sort of try and, you know, help us out a bit. But yeah, we just kept struggling most of the season.
I do remember, like, the crowd never got on top of him, did they? They kind of supporting the team that season, even though we finished, you know, near the bottom.
Yeah, they didn't really. No, they didn't really go after him. So we were struggling, and we played some decent football. I think it was Colchester away. We lost 4-3 or something like that. And I remember their manager after the game saying it's one of the best footballing teams that they'd played all season. So we could, you know, we played some decent stuff, and he tried to get us playing. And training was always all right. You know, they were lively sessions, and you know, the training sessions were quite good standard wise. I don't know. It was hard to put your finger on it, but yeah, once you get down there, it's difficult to get away, really, sometimes.
But two memorable wins that season. One being 7-4 against Swansea. What do you remember about that game?
Yeah, it was a crazy game. Honestly, just ball just never seemed to be out of the penalty area. It was just barmy. one end to the other. I can't remember how the scoring went, but it was just crazy, honestly. I think it was quite early on in the season as well. And
yeah,
even when we were 7-4 up, we were thinking, have we done enough? Are they going to, you know, are they going to like push on again? Or oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Even like
yeah.
last 5 minutes. Because I remember, I think we played Torquay that season, going, we were 3-0 up with about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
We ended up drawing 3-3. And we're like, how the hell's that happened? So some bizarre games, honestly. But yeah, that were certainly a good one for the fans, that 7-4.
Yeah, yeah. I remember my dad used to love telling a story about that Torquay game. Apparently there was two City fans that left at 3-1 or 3-0 maybe and went to 3-2. Right. And like when the video printer came in, they were like, oh, that's definitely a mistake.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. It really was.
And then, yeah, the win against Palace over two legs.
Yeah, the cup run. Yeah, we beat them at Boothroyd Park 1-0, I think did Dwayne score that night?
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously we're off down to their place for the second leg, and everyone's thinking, oh, they're going to turn the big team out, or whatever, and sort of, you know, and go through easy. But we went 1-0 up. I think it was Ian Wright that scored from a corner, centre half, and Willow were brilliant that night. I remember Willow had a cracking game, but he needed to, because obviously the Premier League, weren't they? So they made his work for it. We had to defend really, really well. And I think we went through, we lost 2-1 on the night after extra time, I think, but we managed to get through somehow. So
yeah. And then play Newcastle in the next round. Did you play that game?
Well, I'd been in the team. I say Mark and Billy they were picking me and I was playing. I was doing all right, sort of thing. And I'd scored the previous two Saturdays. I can't remember who we played now, but I'd scored. So I thought, well, I should be all right. I should be playing at Newcastle. This was the midweek. And we were up in a hotel near Newcastle somewhere. And he starts reading the team out, and I wasn't in it. It put itself in. Mark Haley put himself in and left me out, which it was a big blow for me. So I look, you know, you don't get many of them games. We were obviously playing League Two, and that's playing a Premiership team away from home, full house. I was absolutely gutted, to be honest. I got on for about half an hour or something, but yeah, I was proper a bit caught up about that.
Yeah, I just wondered, like, during all that time, you know, Gary was saying about players getting sold, and I mean, you and Manny were two of our most talented players. Did you ever have a chance to leave during that time before you actually went?
I don't think so. You hear one or two rumours, but I mean, one of them was, I think we played Bolton in the Cup. And not bragging about it, I used to do all right against the teams higher up, you know, in Cup games and that. And I think I got man of the match when we played them at our place. And someone had seen something in a paper. I don't know if it was a whole paper or not, but there were a rumour about them. But nothing really, you know, until they get called into to the manager's office, nothing happens, does it? So nothing really happened.
And then moving into the next season when Mark Haley leaves, there's that famous game away at Bolton, actually, the tennis balls.
yeah, that was the first leg, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think that's what David Lloyd said was the turning point for him or something.
It could have been. I remember him, he dragged us all down to London for a meeting, David Lloyd. Gave us all a bit of a dressing down in his hotel. One or two of the senior players sort of not stood up to him, but you know, gave him a bit back, and quite amusing.
So what is he saying? Obviously, that we should be doing better.
Yeah, he had us down there. I think we got beat off. I can't remember who it was at the weekend, and England were playing. I remember. I think they were playing a match at Wembley. So the plan was we were all going down to this meeting to see David Lloyd and then going on to the England game after. So he gets us all in this hotel room, not good enough, you know, because just gives us a dressing down, really. I remember one of his comments, because he owned obviously got all these gyms, and he says, you're not fit enough. You're not fit enough. I've got 50-year-old women who are fitter than you lot, or something like that. So Glenn Hodges, who was there at the time, says, "Go and effing sign him then," or something like that. So we're all trying to, like, not, you know, make eye contact. We're all like giggling away like little kids, I suppose. But yeah, that were a cracking comment to come back to him with. But yeah, and then we went on to England game after that. So right. Yeah, so that was just, yeah, remember that one quite well.
Did you have some good nights out over the years as well? Like, say, like,
yeah,
after like fetish scores, I imagine there's a good night out.
Yeah,
after that.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I first started, I think we played Scarborough in the Cup. We got battered at, it was my first full season. We lost to Oxford heavily, 4-0, I think it was. And then we played Scarborough in the Cup on a Tuesday night. And we won 2-1. And I scored one of the goals and then sort of finished the game in, I don't know, about 8 or 9, as it headed off into town. And we went to LA's, the nightclub, yeah. And we get, so it was like an 80s night or something like that. We didn't get there till fairly late because we obviously played the game and that. So it was a quick change and we're off out. And I can't remember who it was, like, says, "Oh, there's a big queue, like 100 yard long to try, you know, to get in." And they said, one at the place, "Oh, we don't have to queue up, we just walk straight in." And I just remember feeling a bit uncomfortable about it. You know, all these people just stood queuing up and we just bowled straight in and just, you know, we went straight in and walked in. So yeah, we had some great nights. Really good.
Who was like the standout characters on the night out then?
Well, obviously Dino were always there. Linton, they were always lively on nights out, but we all got on really well. We were a brilliant team spirit and that, and we were all, you know, really good friends and that. So we were all similar age. So yeah, it were good. We had some good laughs. Really good.
Yeah, and people always talk about, you know, back in the day, these good relationship between fans and players. There was always quite a lot of interaction with the fans back then.
Back then there was. You know, they'd come up well played, all this lot, and buy you a pint, whatever, and it were quite good. A bit later on, it got a bit, you know, a bit naughty. It's, you know, it totally changed. Like, fans were happy and that, and we'd get a bit of stick. So we tended not to go out as much then.
Then getting back to that final season at City, did you play in the game that was deemed like maybe the last game at Boothry Park?
No, I was ill with. I used to struggle with tonsillitis a lot. I think I had tonsillitis that night. It was a night game, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was gutted. I can't remember who they played, but I missed that one because I had illness. I went very well, so I missed that one. But yeah, I remember it. It was you know, a big crowd there, weren't they? So everyone thought that might be the last one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's that like for the players at that time? Are you just kind of getting on with it and training?
Yeah, we're just trying to get on with it and training. I say, going back to... it being run professionally and stuff, it probably did go a bit then, but we was, you know, training kit, we used to get his training kit all laid out, at, you know, early on, and then it all just used to come in a big shopping trolley. So we're a big rummage around, you know, to get the best shorts or socks like that. So it did go a bit, you know, dog and duck, if you like, towards the end. But now we just, I don't know, that were a scary time now, thinking it was going to be the last ever game there and we didn't have a clue what we're going to go off. So we just kept going until we were told otherwise.
And then obviously Hatley gets sacked. Did you know that you weren't going to be playing for Warren Joyce, or how did it happen?
Not really. Again, my hernia had come back again. I say it came back and I weren't sure if I would have it operated on again or not. I were out for quite a bit with that. I can't remember how long I was out for with it, but Joycey took over and I was just sort of getting my fitness back, trying to get back training and stuff like that. And I'd been out for, I don't know, maybe a month, something like that. And then I remember one of my first training sessions, I went over on my ankle. It does happen, you know, when you're recovering from one injury, the amount of players who pick something else up straight away is unbelievable. So I went over on my ankle. So that put me out for another couple of weeks and eventually started training again. And I played a couple of games and basically got told I was on my way.
Is it a player exchange? We got,
yeah, John Whitney, Jason Perry. I didn't really want to go, to be honest. I didn't want to go at all, but Joyce has said, look, we've agreed a deal or whatever. You need to get down to Lincoln and sort it out. They were in League One at the time as well. So I drove down there and the deal got sorted. And I said, I didn't really want to go, but in the end, you know, got no choice really.
But maybe not a bad move for your career if you're moving up a league. Like, how did it go?
No, well, yeah, I moved there, but then they got relegated. So we ended up in the same league again. But I moved to Lincoln. I struggled with injuries. Not making excuses in that, but I struggled with injuries. I did my knee, I think I did my ankle again or something like that. I seemed to be sort of in and out of the team quite a bit. And then I think their manager got sacked. Alan Buckley took over. He offered me a year's contract. He only took over in the March or something at the end of the 2 years that I were there. He played me for the last few games and he offered me another year. The agent who I'd got at the time said, you need 2 years, which I thought, well, I've not really been playing. So anyway, we left it and we went off for summer break and all that. And then it popped up on Teletext that they did release me. So that was it. I was gone.
Right. It's a nice way to find out.
Yeah. I was on a stag do in, I think it was Hamburg or somewhere like that. And I think my mum or my dad phoned me up and said, look, you've been released. Great. So yeah, come on, Teletext.
Could have waited till you got back, couldn't
they? I know, exactly. Yeah, so never mind.
Yeah, do you left by the time we played Villa that season?
No, I was there then.
Right. What was the Villa game like?
Again, I were on the bench. Sounds like I were injured all the time, but I was just coming back from summer. It might have been this hernia again, I can't remember, but I managed to make it on the bench and I just remember wanting to get out there as quick as possible, like to warm up, you know, just to get on the pitch and see what it was like. I think we lost 3-0 in the end, but we didn't disgrace us. I think they were top of the Premier League at the time.
Top versus bottom, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Top against bottom. And they were on match of the day and stuff like that. I don't know. But I was full house, 39, 40,000 or something. So another brilliant experience, even though we lost. But.
Mm. Yeah. I remember the Luton game in the second round was great when Big Bob Dewar scored the win.
Yeah, I were injured for that one as well. I remember that one. It was a 2-0, weren't it? Because I think they were up in the league above. So that was a sort of mini shock, if you like. But that got us into the third round and we ended up playing at Villa Park. So.
Did you ever end up playing back at Boothby Park against City?
Yeah, we played the season after my first full season at Lincoln. I think we drew 1-1. Gavin Gordon scored, I think, like City centre forward. We drew 1-1. I got a bit of stick off to Kempton, the terrace on the far side. So as you do, because I were, you know, playing on the right, I'm sort of in front of them. So yeah. Got a bit of abuse, but it's to be expected, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit of an odd experience coming back, though.
It was nice to come back and see, you know, because obviously a lot of the players were still there, sort of, you know. It was a strange one. I don't know if we played the year after as well. I can't remember, but I just remember that game. I think we drew 1-1. You look for the fixtures when they come out and you see all City away. So, God. I'm sure it were August or really September or something like that. So,
Like, who do you remember from your time at the club? Like, not just players, but you know, staff and everyone around the club.
Guys like Rob Smith, similar to what Obbo said, really. Rob Smith, we'd see quite a lot of. John Cooper, always around, brilliant bloke. Simon Corkill. Always coming in with a football to sign or something like that.
Yeah.
Your dad did the stadium announcing, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Ken. Remember Ken, the groundsman Mark. I think he had a young lad working with him. I mean, Alistair or someone like that. But you used to see the because we used to get changed there if we'd train up at the university, so we'd see them every day. So yeah, the same people every day, and we got to know them quite well. Yeah,
and obviously seen quite a lot of the old names on Facebook and stuff. To keep in touch with people like Manny and people like that.
Yeah, well, Manny's in Australia. I've not spoke to him for a bit, to be honest, but one or two messages we send each other now and again. I'm seeing Adam Lothorpe and Scott Maxfield, remember? Scott, remember? We're going out for a beer in a few weeks, so we try and meet up every so often. But yeah, a lot of lads on Facebook, which is always good to, you know, keep in touch that way, really, and see the old pictures, and it's always good to see the old dressing room and, you know, before it all got knocked down.
Yeah, is that funny picture? It must be a fancy dress one, was it? A Christmas do?
Oh yeah, the
Free Park.
Yeah, I remember that. I think we'd had training. That must have been 94-ish, something like that. Christmas do, and obviously we're all there in his stupid 70s outfits and that. And I think we'd had training, and we'd been straight in players' bar after, and then we went outside for a picture, you know, a group picture and that, and we're all there with his bottles of beer and stuff, and I think Mark, the groundsman, would be doing some work on the pitch. The pitch was the best pitch ever, honestly. It just looked like a bowling green. So we're all sort of sat in stands, like, finishing his beers off, and one of the lads decides to throw his bottle on the pitch. So he throws it on the, obviously a big divot comes out. So I thought, oh, that seems a good idea. So we all then throwing all these bottles of Budweiser on his pitch, big lumps of turf coming out everywhere. So I don't think we were too happy with that, but that was a good night as well.
Where'd you end up that night?
It must have been LA's again. I can't remember, okay. But
is that the main place then?
Yeah, we used to end up in there quite a bit, and then some food after or whatever, but I think we've got the day off after, so we could have a bit of a sleep in.
Yeah, I bet the pitch was good for players like you and Manny who wanted to play a bit.
Pitch were brilliant, honest, but it were also good for away team. I think they enjoyed playing on it as well. So, pitch was absolutely incredible. So flat, and the grass was just brilliant, honestly. Really good pitch.
Is there a high point of your time at City or Boothroyd Park, do you think?
I'd say the first full season I were there. I mean, I were in the team and we were doing quite well. I'd scored about 6 or 7, I think, up to Christmas, which I didn't throw about, you know, from a wide position. I think we played Huddersfield on the Boxing Day. We won 1-0 and I got the winner in that game. There were about over 10,000 there. That was an amazing atmosphere. Honestly, it was incredible.
Did well there, Linton Brown. Gets the cross in. And there's the goal! The goal by Richard Peacock! Terry Dolan's on the pitch! He can't believe it!
So that was probably one of my best spells. And then I seemed to get sort of bombed out after Christmas and didn't really feature as much for whatever reason, I don't know.
Similar question, but is there a game, like a memorable game that sticks out?
Well, yeah, that Huddersfield one.
Right, yeah, yeah.
With the crowd there and Boxing Day, and that was such a good atmosphere. Got to go back to the Fulham one, my debut. You know, just out on the pitch warming up and that, seeing the crowd come in. I was sort of used to playing in front of like 50 or 60 people, playing for, you know, North Counties East League sort of standard and that. And then to be thrown in a proper football league ground with new, sounds daft, but new footballs and, you know, your kit all laid out. You never forget that sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah. Special kit at the time as well.
Yeah. The strike one. I've got a couple of shirts. I've never got that one. I've got, I think I've got one from around 95, the IBC logo, and one from about 97. So I'll hang on to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have Les Motherby after him if you're not careful. Yeah, who was your toughest opponent that you faced at Boothroyd Park?
I never used to like playing against John Whitney, I'll be honest. Right. You know, the guy who ended up, because he just loved a tackle, and if the ball were just anywhere near to be, you know, a 30-70, not in his favour, he'd just go steaming through you, honestly. I didn't really like playing against him. He was always a bit, you know, he was always up for a scrap, if you like. Lincoln were a tough team, to be honest. They had a lot of big lads. So they were always a hard team to play against when we played them. But yeah, I just remember where got to know him a bit. Obviously, when he I think he came to Hull, and I must have played in one game before I actually left. So yeah, I got to know him quite well. But yeah, he was a tough left back.
Yeah, I was watching highlights of a game he played for us against Chelsea, and he absolutely lays out Dennis Wise at one point.
Yeah.
And then goes to have a go at him afterwards.
Well, I were at Lincoln at the time, and obviously we all knew that Hull were playing Chelsea in the cup, and sure, one of the lads said, Witters has said he's going to absolutely steam into Dennis Wise, you know, on Saturday or something, and he obviously did. So he went looking for him, and sounds like he did him.
Well, there's a bit of a history there, or he just fancied taking him out.
I think he just fancied having a bit of a pop at him. So, yeah, proper nail him from our career.
Yeah, we talked a bit about goals, talked about the Carlisle one, but I watched a very good one against Burnley at home as well. Which is your favourite goal you scored at Buford, do you think?
I enjoyed that one because it was at the bunkers end, weren't it? Obviously the home end. A lot of my goals seem to be at the way end. I don't know why, which were all right, but it's always nice to score in front of your home fans, isn't it? So that Burnley game, I think we were struggling for players. We'd had a few injuries. Bobby Davison came in on low, and Terry decided to use me as a sort of a main striker, if you like, as a two down the middle. And that was my first game as playing as a striker. And yeah, the second goal, they were a nice one, yeah. I think we won 3-0 that day. A rare win.
Yeah, I suppose like Kempton was closed a lot during your time, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it was. So that was a bit weird on the... Man, it stopped the abuse coming, I suppose, when I was playing on that side. But yeah, we're a bit strange. A bit strange, I mean, that close.
Yeah, I think the only player that celebrated in front of it was Warren Joyce that time.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I think he got a bit of stick for that as well, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I think he's getting all kinds of stick for being the captain, I think, or something.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, but I remember that. He came in for a bit, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah. It all turned when he kept him up, didn't he? So.
Yeah, true, yeah. Who's like the best player you played with or against at Buford, do you think?
Played with probably Dino, I'd say. You could tell right from day one over there, he was the main man sort of thing. And it was just good to see, you know, his story sort of come to an end when his pinnacle sort of thing, when he scored that goal at Wembley. But yeah, I'd say he was the best player. We had a few good ones technically. Glyn Hodges with brilliant left foot. Obviously, David Rowcastle. But yeah, I'd say Dino. He stood out.
Fair. And then what about against Jim and Brenny?
I remember back to the Oxford game, first game of the season, 94, I think it was, 94, 95. And I was playing wide right. Simon Dakin, if you remember Simon, he ended up falling down a lift shaft somehow. But
really?
Anyway, that's another story. But he was playing right back. I was sort of in front of him. We shared a house together, me, Simon, and Manny again. Go back to Manny. We got absolutely roasted off Oxford's left winger, Chris Allen, he was called. And he absolutely tore us to shreds, honestly. Run ring around us. But then I think we were losing 4-0 at half time. And most of the goals seemed to come from our side. So, yeah, I'll never forget him.
And I guess one last one then is just, how do you reflect on your time at Buford Park? And is there anything you do differently, do you reckon?
I loved it. I'll be honest with you. Like I've always said the other day, listening to his interview, it's best time of your life. Really, really was. Young lad playing professional football for a biggish club like Hull City, with a dream come true. Really. So, yeah, I don't know if I'd change anything. No, all good memories.